What's up, my people? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church's Sermon Spotlight, where we're coming at you each and every week with a fresh weekend, a debrief, an effort to send biblical truth. What better way to do that than by the power of conversation? I'm one of your hosts, Caleb Pearson, joining me in the host spotlight, Mark Francis.
What is up?
Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Good.
Love to see you. I wasn't here last week, and I listened to, as I always do, diligently.
Yes.
There is no way that we're going to be able to bring the same energy as last week. And Tim. There's not enough caffeine in the building for all of us to bring whatever they did.
She jumped in. She jumped on board, man. I said, do you want
to host? How did that work
out? She hopped right over. I thought it went well. Rose is her own worst critic. I told her she was great.
It was great.
Oh, she's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. And good to see you, buddy.
I'm happy.
You were my
here.
Realtor last month. I'm all moved in.
I'm here for
I just want you to know, even though you're not my realtor anymore, you're still my friend.
You're always client for life.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. He's also with us, Mark Carey. Mark, how you doing, my friend?
Good.
Good. Thanks for being in the pulpit this weekend. I want to jump right in, Sunday in review. Get into some good stuff in the book of Daniel, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pretty heavy hitting, pretty hard sometimes, confusing to deal with. I want to come your way first. We ended up in the Psalms too, so we'll unpack that. But
yeah.
what stood out this weekend?
You said, it's the front half of Daniel, chapters 1 through 6, is the kind of the narrative, the stories. We're about ready to jump into 7 through 12 and all the rest of the stuff. And so we're at this crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark, I guess you chose to take a little middle break there and dive into Psalm 90 and able to unpack that, which was just refreshing to kind of look at it from that perspective of maybe potentially Daniel's eyes, of him saying, okay, he had an understanding of a heart of God and what that looks like and wisdom, and just there's a lot of to unpack there. So I don't have a lot to add, but it's almost like, how did you land in that kind of idea of Psalm 90?
There's a natural break between 6 and 7 in Daniel. So I thought...
what do you mean by actual break in the way it's
the
written?
The biographical section, now the prophetic section. So there's kind of a natural break there, and I just thought it would be good to do a... quick kind of where we've been.
Where have you been?
And when you think of the life of Daniel, what popped into my mind was Psalm 90, teach us to number our days. And I do think, you know, it's conjecture, but I have to believe that Psalm 90 was known by Daniel. I thought, well, man, if I was in Daniel's shoes and you know, what psalm would stick out to me if, you know, Psalm 90 would be one that, you know, our days are short and, you know, that we're in the midst of all the sin of the world. And so teach us to number our days that we can present to you. And then it's that last part, verses 13 through 17 of the psalm that said, satisfy in the morning. You know, how do we live a life in a Babylon-like culture and world, when everything is going wrong, when you know, how does that happen, and you don't fall apart? Well, your vertical is intact, that affects the horizontal, and so I'm sure Daniel had that prayer of Moses: satisfy me in the morning with your loving kindness, that I may sing for joy and be glad all our days.
So unpack that some more, because you're saying it's almost just like a spirit-led quickening of saying, okay, Psalm 90 just seems to really stand out. The themes that we've been seeing with Daniel coming through are just the sovereignty of God, the trusting in that God that we know of sovereignty. So walk us through kind of where Psalm 90 is really fitting with some of those themes before, because you said that the middle point of Psalm 90, verse 12, I think you said, is kind of, you honed in on that at the end of the sermon.
Right.
You know, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom.
Yeah.
So work that into Daniel for us.
So, you know, I think we can have a false understanding of the sovereignty of God, in the sense that there's this God who is mean-spirited. He took me off into Babylon. He ripped me from my family, you know. All right, yeah. And he is sovereign. And so he's at fault. He did this to me. And, you know, it is a problem that people can have. And so, you know, you can, okay, let's then embrace open theism that just says, no, God didn't know. He was as upset as you, Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar came and whisked you off. I mean, God is there's the openness, and he's figuring out as it's being surprised. Unfolded. He's as surprised, and he's... But he loves you. He's kind, and you know he doesn't want that to happen, but it did. So he's going to work in your life. And well, we know that that's not a biblical position. That God does set the affairs of our life. Well, if that's our view of God, I can see inappropriately, but I can see where people can get mad at God and they can argue with God and be upset with him. Why is this happening to me? Psalm 90. Could say the same thing. I mean, you could come and see that. Verse 7, we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You've placed our iniquities before you, so on and so forth. Or verse 15, when he says, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil.
Hence the context of 100 people dying a day.
Right.
In the desert where Moses is writing this, and it just could be...
God is doing this.
What is happening here?
That's right. Man, yeah. It is the hand of God, and he's sovereign, and there's nothing we can do about it, and all that. So Moses, and again, I think it's embraced by Daniel. Moses doesn't wrestle with that. He doesn't argue with God. He just comes to him as the one who is full of loving kindness and mercy. And so his prayer is, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us. Help me to see life through the lens of your sovereignty in a proper way, that I can rejoice because you're a loving, kind God. And so I just, it just resonates with me that here's Daniel, all that he had suffered, that he could identify with Moses, who saw that darkness and suffering in the wilderness. Daniel was in his wilderness, surrounded by death and the paganism. And his prayer was, satisfy me. He didn't run from that sovereign God. He ran to him.
Yeah.
And it just, I just think it's after a lot of lion's dens and fiery furnaces and all the stuff that in the first six chapters of Daniel and the stuff that happens in our life. What is our view of God, and how does his sovereignty and his loving kindness, and it just fits there in Psalm 90.
And ultimately, we want this to be applicable to us today as well. Hence, you know, Daniel being so relevant with where are we in our world today, in our culture, in our society, in election year, and all the upheaval of things. And we are by no means being drugged off into captivity. Yet. I mean, right. You know, right. But there's stuff. So how are we being prepared? So if that day comes, we can have that heart of Daniel or that heart of Moses. Yeah. And God teach us to number our days in that way.
And we're not called to avoid it, but so many of us do. But things are starting to happen that we can't avoid. It's starting to invade a little bit. And it's as things happen in this life, it's in your face to the degree of, okay, we need to be ready for some of this stuff. Right before we press record, I saw that Columbia University canceled all their in-person classes for the rest of the year because of anti-Israel protests, the student body. Like, there are things that are happening where you could be walking to class and all of a sudden it's totally different in your face and we're wrestling with it. Global tension. Every 4 years, our country says global tension's at an all-time high, but it feels like it's at an all-time high.
And hatred against Christians
is fueling
seems to be at an all time in this country.
So
we've
got to
be prepared. And so what does that look like to be prepared? Is to the rest of that verse 12 there, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And I think, Mark, that's what you're trying to do, is unpack what is a heart of wisdom. What does that really look like with those few points? And Daniel understood that.
So taken from it, if Daniel was locked and loaded on God and not his circumstances, which I think it's proven in the 70 years of his life there, plus 70 plus years, he is a great example. And what can we learn from his life? That that is instructional for us that we can embrace. And so I mentioned six things in there. We could have included other things. Certainly Daniel was a man of prayer. You're going to be talking about that in Daniel 9. It's a great model prayer. And it's not a prayer that is where he's vetting and spewing forth his anger at God and woe is me and why, you know, there's such a model again with Daniel, that is instructive for us today in the culture and what we're living in today. Mm-hmm. While we accept the fact that God is sovereign and what is happening in our culture and in our world, what will happen in this upcoming election, all of that is being guided and directed, if not decreed, by the sovereign hand of God. He wants us to be faithful in the midst of it. But not only that, Moses' prayer was, I don't just want to be faithful. I want to experience joy.
Yeah.
I want to experience the satisfaction of knowing your love for me. Satisfy me in the morning. And that's how ultimately, if our prayer is, so teach me to number my days that I can present you a heart of wisdom, that's how it's done. Mm-hmm. It's understanding who God is, his kindness, his love, and his grace, and his mercy, and being satisfied with that and experience his joy and
gladness. And I love how you came back to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel 4. And that response of a heart of a guy who has been through a lot and who did not grow up understanding Yahweh, the one true God, is coming to a place of saying his dominion is an everlasting dominion and kingdom endures from generation to generation. That response, that heartfelt response that he had, he then understood who God was and understood that sovereign plan.
Yeah.
And that's a great response for somebody like that.
And the implication of that is that would not, humanly speaking, that would not have happened if there had not been a young man who had been taken into captivity, placed in that foreign environment, and who was walking humbly before his God in obedience to his God. God placed him in that position so that he could connect the dots for Nebuchadnezzar, who then would say, so God is glorified through this great king of Babylon.
Well, great hope that if there is a time and a place where our United States of America is in a rule that seems like Babylon, that we can stand firm and know that there is a story where a crazy king, Nebuchadnezzar, who is just out for himself, came to his knees and recognized the sovereignty of God. Just how God can turn people's hearts just like that. Mm-hmm. And you referred to like a quote from, was it somebody from England from the 1930s? Mm-hmm. And can you ever imagine somebody saying that today? Yeah,
and King George VI.
His
Christmas Day speech.
The Christmas Day speech. And so, like, it's fascinating to see how God can just change hearts instantly and open up people's eyes to see him clearly. And we can have that confidence that, man, it doesn't matter what our government looks like. It doesn't matter, like, who's around us. We know that God is in charge.
Yeah.
And that's the story of Daniel. And we're going to get to that in those prophetical chapters to come, too, of what it's going to look like.
Yeah, it's Daniel is an example. I don't know how I would have acted. I hope I would have acted like Daniel. I don't know. I'm concerned that there's much more kind of an animosity or antagonism or angst in Christians today. I don't know what I would have done under Nazi Germany. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was in a plot to assassinate Hitler. Daniel was well positioned to assassinate Nebuchadnezzar.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating.
I know. Think of that. But there was just, do I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer is wrong? I certainly do. Right. But I don't know what I would do in those situations. There's an opportunity to take out the guy who took out who took me off into captivity, or who probably maybe even killed my parents or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was just such steadiness and resolve in Daniel, from chapter 1 on, let's do this for 10 days. Mm-hmm. And he just, this food
yep.
before the king, just a steady trust in the Lord, even till his, well into his 80s, 90s. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. here's the God of heaven, and I'm going to trust him. And in the midst of it, not be doom and gloom.
Trust him and be satisfied.
And be satisfied yeah. And feel, and be still experience joy and gladness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think when Daniel opened those windows to pray, I don't know, but I mean, he was older by that time too. I mean, the Lord had walked with him longer, but I don't think Daniel cared one whit what's going to happen to him. He just loved the Lord and he's going to do this. And it was like, oh, is that the decree? Oh, okay, open the windows, pray. Because he was enjoying his relationship with the Lord. He knew whatever, be chewed by the lions.
It's
okay.
another marker of that, what it looks like to trust and be yeah. dependent. There's that satisfaction that comes, that should come. Because, yeah, we can, on the outside, look like we have faith and trust, but are we really happy and enjoying that when it's happening? And there's the satisfaction knowing that, okay, I'm okay with it all, and I'm good with what God is doing mm-hmm. throughout the difficulties going on around me. Mm-hmm. That's satisfied and trust.
That steadfastness, that satisfaction, certainly going to come into play when we start to read what we're going to read. And Daniel experiences what he experiences, and he sees what he sees. So we're looking forward to that. I do want to cut us a little early, MF. Anything you want to share?
I'm curious. Coming up. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the service, we had two closing songs, and one of them came from Psalm 90. You know, so... Is there a quick story behind that?
Yeah, the quick story is I had heard Jacob Borstadt and Ben Sanford sing that song Friday night. Mm-hmm. We were in a gathering, a little small group worship gathering. I had never heard Psalm 90. It's a Shane and Shane
yep.
song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I don't think I had heard it. I hadn't paid attention. And so they sang this song on Psalm 90, and I'm going to be preaching on that. So I'm sitting there listening to this thing, and it was ministering to me. I really appreciated it. And I thought, I will just be sharing that Psalm 90. Wouldn't it be neat if they could sing that maybe at the end and lead us in? Because it's really a prayer. Oh, yeah. Satisfy me. Yeah. And music has a way in a very visceral sense to drive home, mm-hmm. communicate stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just asked them, hey, guys, you're going to be around? I mean, would it work for you to do this? And they said, sure. You know, that's giving, serving hearts. And they were willing to do that, take extra time. And on Saturday night and
so they did all three?
Well, not all four. They can't be at two places at the same time.
But Saturday night, they did it. Okay. But Mike Lukens did it because Ben was busy.
And our Fellowship 3 team was able to learn it as well right away. So it was
well, that's what I was wondering. Because didn't they just videotape that?
No, we played it. We learned it and we played it.
Oh, okay.
It was fun.
Wow, that's cool.
You gave us less than 24 hours to learn a new song and plug it in.
I love it.
And did the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was great. We loved it.
Very cool.
So that's how that came about. And, you know, that's... I hope is just being sensitive to what the Lord is doing. And what I appreciated is a worship team. Mm-hmm. Now, if that would have been Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, and I was saying, hey, can we, well, they still might have found ways to do it, but at least the Lord is kind to let us do it Friday night come to that give us a little extra time.
That's very cool.
It's great.
And, you know, and the tech team wrote, they put the words on the screen. They, you know, it was a few extra steps to get it done.
And it was impactful.
Yeah.
We've had multiple people in the worship team hear questions of where did that song come from? And that was
when you
meaningful.
Sense that little tap on the shoulder by the Holy Spirit to do it, you do it, and he brings it all about, and I think it ministers.
Just another confirmation that Psalm 90 was resonating.
Yeah.
We needed to
Spirit's
wrestle
gonna use it.
Yeah,
be
yeah.
In
yeah.
That
it was cool.
As
good.
A corporate gathering.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Gentlemen, I'm going to end us there. Mark, thanks for being here. MF, you're the man.
Yes, sir.
As a reminder to our viewers and listeners, you can find everything we're throwing out there at fbcva.org and this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, as well as our Global Church podcast and the Fellowship family. The fact of the matter, everybody, is that sermons are not meant to just take an hour, but rather transform a lifetime. Till next week, much love. God bless.